So we know the Ron holds for sure. Remember this one premise. This is going to take us all the way through the entire sugya. That Purim becomes the whole sugya. Purim is it's one day, as you'll see. It's one, even though it's 48 hours, it's one phenomenon of Purim. Okay. So the Ron wants to say that he wants to say that really there's an idea of keeping Shushan's centrality extant. So how do we do that? Ensuring there's a 15th day of Purim. That's step one. Then the next problem the Ron deals with is that, well, okay, but the problem is if we left it just as is, there won't be Jews in Shushan over time. So what do? We need to expand it to include other cities. Okay? Which cities do we use? What kind of city do we use? We use walled cities. No, not at the same time. Shushan wasn't walled. We use a walled city because walled has a halakha characteristic. So they can at least say, oh, cities that have more chashivas, right, have more importance because they're halakhically superior, which I'm not getting into why. That's a separate issue. So then that's why we use those things. So the Ron has one more point before I get to the Ramban. But then the problem is that if we limit it to the times of the cities of Ahasuerus, right, how many cities in Israel would that include? Right, because the Ron believed that Israel is in a state of basic destruction. So therefore, at a covered Eretz Yisrael, we go back to the days of Yeshua, which would therefore, even though there wouldn't be present walled cities in Israel, let's say Tiberia, let's say it was destroyed, right? Even though it's in a state of destruction, nonetheless, when it gets rebuilt, even though at that time it won't have walls, that's still considered a walled city since it was walled in the times of Yeshua ben Nun.
You say that once here,
why is covered Eretz Yisrael so important? The Ron adds that point. He says because of honoring Eretz Yisrael, that's all we have to, because think about what would end up happening. What would end up happening is if we chose walled cities from the times of Ahasuerus, then there'd be like three more cities in Israel that would celebrate the 15th of Purim, right? But we need more. We want more. So what do? We choose cities that were walled from the times of Yeshua ben Nun, okay? But his lashon is, he says, hold on, Shua. He says, where is it? K'dei lachlo kavod le'Eretz Yisrael, all right? So what is that? Why is it so important to have kavod for Eretz Yisrael? Why do we bring that in now? What's so important about that? It's a very Purimish idea. Why is Kavod Eretz Yisrael so important? So what would you say? The Ron's trying to use Mukafim to the walled cities to elevate the status of Eretz Yisrael,
yes.
Right? Again, so when you think of Chashivas, you'll think of walled cities and Eretz Yisrael. Right. Why Eretz Yisrael? Think about the story. What's so important about... Think about the result of what happens here. What's going to happen here is that all over the world, everyone celebrates Purim on which day? Yadalit. Only in Eretz Yisrael could you ever have Tesvav, right? Now, why is that an important goal for the sages? Because Purim is a unique... What's unique about Purim? You have an event of divine providence that takes place. That's bad. We don't like that. So to ensure that someone always remembers that the core idea of divine providence to the nation always starts in Israel. That's where it belongs. So when you know that there's a unique Purim celebrated in Eretz Yisrael, you'll think about that. He says, much different approach, right? The Ramban says, where does he start there? He says, Avaha Ramban Zal. You guys see it? Follow along. No Sin Tam. All right, so automatically, what does the Ramban say? The Jews were in Israel. A lot of Jews were in Israel. So I can't define that. But because the Ramban says historically there were not a lot of Jews, the Ramban says no. The Jews, there was a lot of Jews in Eretz Yisrael, and Israel was built up. So therefore, what? Right. It's very funny. So even though Haman says Yeshno Amechad Mefuzam Forad, Haman's argument to Ahasuerus is these Jewish people are spread out everywhere, implying they're in exile. The Ramban's like, well, not really, because a lot of them were actually in Israel. But he kind of ignores that. He says, let's put that to the side. What's his key point? Lo Alu Mehen El Muatim Bimi Ezra. Right? Only a few of them went up in the times of Ezra. Keep going. Okay. So you have to understand what's happening here. Okay? Now, remember, in other words, There are, let's say there's three kinds of people, okay? There are Jews, there's Haman guys, right? Haman's people, and then let's say neutrals, okay? Okay, so you live in an unwalled city, an open city, right? So what's the concern? The concern is that the armies of Haman will come marching in and kill the Jews. And the neutral people, whatever, they'll like, I don't know, do nothing, right? Okay. But if you're in a walled city, right, who can't get in? Haman's people, right? So you're safe. Just think about how crazy that is. So what's so clever about the Ramban's version is that in the times of Purim, when the alarm bell sounded, right, so the people in the Kufrin were like, the Jews were like, yeah, exactly, okay. Well, we feel bad for our fellow Jews, but for us, we're safe because no one can break into the walled city. So you have to think about that mindset. In the time of Purim, when the alarm is sounded, if you lived in a walled city and you were Jewish, you had nothing to fear. Okay, so think about it. It makes perfect sense. In the year of the victory, okay, so even though the walled city people didn't really experience any danger, but when you find out there's this tremendous celebration by your fellow Jews, what do? You celebrate with them, right? By the way, the Ramban is saying there was a celebration of solidarity, which is fine. Go solidarity, right? So if you're in a walled city, that year, what did you do? You celebrated with the unwalled city people. Yeah, yeah. Now, you have to realize what's being implied here. First of all, the Ramban actually is kind of pushing against the Gemara a bit, because the Ramban implies that after that first year of partying, what happened? So the unwalled cities continued to party. They had like a commemorative day, right? Okay, which implies that the halachas of Purim didn't come into existence yet. Okay, the Gemara and the Bavli, its version, makes it sound like the second year, or the year after the first Purim, was when they decided to put Purim into place. But the Ramban says, no, the Ramban says, what happened? For years afterwards, 5-6 years, every year the unwalled city people had a party. But of course the walled city people over time said, all right, listen, that's very nice for having a party, but since we weren't in danger, there's nothing to celebrate. Okay, nothing to celebrate. Dope, you like this. He's like smiling the entire time. Go on. Stop. That's the Ramban. You guys don't know this. That's the Ramban echoing the Yerushalmi. Okay, I did the sugya a few years ago. It's a fascinating sugya. But the Yerushalmi explains that. Basically, they wanted to make Purim into a holiday. They wanted Miklas Esther to become canonized. The problem was, the way the Yerushalmi describes it, the Anshei Knesset Gadol and the Neviim were mitztayer. They were in pain because there's no mechanism to introduce it into the system. Because what halacha would it violate? Baal Tosef. What do you call it? So it would be a problem Baal Tosef. So then the Gemara there says, Heir in Ayam, right? Umatsa smach minatar. What does that mean? It means that there was a divine click, right? Something clicked up here. Now, matzah smach minatar means that in order to justify it, they'd have to say all along there was a hint in the Torah to this being included as a holiday, which they somehow found. Chalk it up to divine involvement. Key point, though, is that without God...
It's written in the Torah.
Right, right. Well... The Vikach. Okay, so now let's wrap it up. So what's the Ramban saying? What's he saying? So what according to him, I'd argue it's much simpler than the Ran's way of looking at it, but what's he saying? So what's he trying to accomplish here? Why do we have 2 days of Purim according to the Ramban? What would you say? Such a deep idea. What's the Ramban trying to get across? Why the 2 days of Purim? Okay, good. So when it comes to Purim, so we know we're trying to capture celebratory experiences. And we know, again, think about it this way. One fabric of a day, one field, if you say, of Purim. And then two different experiences, right? They're trying to capture the experiential. So you have a 14 experiential, and then you have a Shushan experiential, right? You have a Shushan experiential, not a Mukafin experiential. So what do they do with the Mukafin?
They attach it onto the Shushan.
Why do they do it that way? Say it again.
You want to have a national celebration.
Right. Okay. Right. So the goal for the Ramban is to make sure that all the Jews are celebrating. Right. So if you wanted to point to the actual machlokish in the Ramban, putting the history aside, it's really about what would you call Tesvav Adar? Would you call Shushan Purim? That's according to the Ran, meaning the essential idea of the 15th according to the Ran is Shushan, right? And then it extends to all the Mukafin, or it's not Shushan Purim on the 15th. It's Purim, meaning Yudalit is Purim for these, is Prazim Purim, and Tesvav is Mukavim Purim. They use Shushan as what to attach it to, but it's nothing that special about Shushan in the Ramban's eyes.
It's almost like secondary.
You need to know this. That what we're about to do next is extremely complex, okay, as you'll soon see. But you need to know this because you have to understand that there is a phenomenon of 2 days of Purim. Because as you'll see, one day of Purim takes place in unwalled cities, and the other day of Purim takes place in walled cities. What's the case the Mishnah is going to take up? If you are an unwalled city person, let's say going to a walled city, what do you do? Okay, it sounds like a very benign case. There's one more thing we have to do before we do this. One piece of information you have to have handy, and then we'll dive into the Mishnah, which is that Gemara on Dalet and that Tosfos. Okay, what does it say? The Gemara on Dalet Amud Aleph says, Amar Rav Yehoshua ben Levi, right? Chayav Adam. Shot. That's all you need to know. Famous halacha. Okay, ever think about that before? What's that halacha? It's that you have to read at night. And that's the whole question. What does lishnosa mean? What does it mean? What? Does that what it means? Right? Okay. So Tosvos, right? Tosvos takes a very radical approach, which we're going to have to keep in mind. What does Tosvos say? What zman? Shechianu. So you make Shechianu in the day as well. Why? The imama, right? So the ikar kriya of Megillah, all right, is during the day. What does that mean? What do you mean ikar kriya is during the day? What does ikar kriya here mean? I don't know what that means. The words literally mean the essential reading, but what does that mean?
It's more important. The day is more important than the night. I don't know.
But he didn't say that. He said Yosar Chashav. Iker means like it's the essential Kriya. Yeah. So keep going. Klomar, Afagav. Right, so meaning how should you read it? Even though I read during the night, I have to read during the day. Okay? The Iker. Okay, that's the key, right? So you see that the Iker Suda takes place during the day, meaning, right? You can't have your Suda at night. That's a big mistake people do. They have like these big parties on the night of Purim. That's a problem. The Iker Suda, the Suda is during the day. Tosfo says that the reading of the Iker reading of the Megillah is during the day, and then he happens to mention that the Suda happens during the day. So I want to know, on a simple level, we don't have to go too deep into this, but you need this for the sugya. Why would you think, what's the reading at night doing, and what's the reading of the day?
You're really reading at the day once. It's almost like you're continuing into the night, it's just that the night happened first.
No. That doesn't make any sense. What would you say? What would you say? What's the difference here? What do you read at night for? What's the purpose of reading at night? It sounds like you should... Oh, you're getting there. You're getting there. So what's it doing then? So what is that? What's that kriya at night doing? You're not celebrating though, because if according to you, if you were right, and you celebrate at night, then you should have your suit at night. It sounds like what it's doing is Mekadosh Yom. It's not really Mekadosh Yom, but rather the function of reading at night is really to say, is to demonstrate that what is it now?
It is
Purim, right? And the first thing you do when Purim starts to show that it's Purim is Re Megillah. But that's not discharging you of your actual mitzvahs Kriyas Yom, right? Because the mitzvah Kriyas Yom is tied to what? Let's go in order. You read and then what do you do? Eat. And then what do you do with the eating? Mishloach Manos, right? You see the mitzvah sayom, right? The mitzvah sayom, right? The mitzvahs of Purim come about through the day, right? So the reason why you read at night is to say it's now Purim. You're establishing the day as Purim. It's not real Kiddush Yom because there's no Isra Malacha, but it's the same concept, okay? You're Koveitus is Purim. What? Because that's when the Halacha Yom starts. Purim starts at night. Because that is the mitzvah of the day. The mitzvah of the day is Megillah. No, mitzvah of the Halachic day. Halachic day.
That's the
monster. Right. That's similar to Kiddush. When you're Makanish Yom, you're saying, today is Shabbos, right? Your description of today being Purim is through the Kriyas Megillah at night. But during the day is the key. So now comes our sugya, okay? And just to get you guys ready, everyone weighs in. Rashi, the Rush, the Riff, the Ritva, the Riven, Bamor, and the Ramban. Okay?
That's everyone?
I think that's it. Yeah. What? No, that's later on. I'm saying from the Rishonim. It's Benir. The Krach. Let's get our terminology straight. What's a krach? What?
The village.
So krach here means walled city. That's kfar. Krach means walled city. What does ear here mean? Unwalled city. Okay. Okay. So remember, let's get our facts here straight. Okay. So if you're a ben krach, right, meaning a walled city person, let's make it easier. Let's pick a city. We'll call it Jerusalem. Yerushalayim is our walled city. Modin is our unwalled city. So if you live in Yerushalayim and you're there on the 15th, right? So when do you do Megillah? 15th at night. So far, so good? Right? Okay. And let me ask you a question. On the 14th, if you're a 15th guy living in a 15th city, what's happening in your framework on the 14th? I won't say that.
No. It's not.
Well, your friends in other cities are celebrating.
There is some reality of Purim. I just lack the mechanism to discharge my chiyuv because I live in a walled city.
Maybe, or there's no Purim at all.
Yeah. Okay.
So can you celebrate it just not for your chiyuv?
No, there's no celebration. Then you're celebrating. Then you're celebrating. So now you're a 14th guy, right? You go from, this is a practical case. You go from Modin, okay, to Yerushalayim. Modin being unwalled, okay, and Yerushalayim being walled, okay, or Uben Krach. And what's that case? Okay, Yerushalayim, who's when his man of Purim is on the 15th, he goes to Modin. Okay, well, I don't know yet. Okay. That's the problem. One of the problems is going to be what day are we talking about? But for now, in the Mishnah's case is Modin guy goes to Yerushalayim, Yerushalayim guy goes to Modin. Okay, so the Mishnah says im asid lachzor limkomo. Okay, now what does that literally mean?
And then you read according to where you.
Okay. Im asid lachzor. If my intention is to go back to where I'm from, which would seem to imply that where am I right now? I'm in the other place. So if I'm a Modin guy in Yerushalayim, okay? Let's make it simple. I'm a Yerushalayim guy in Modin. Oh, one second. And I say to myself, I intend to go back to Yerushalayim, okay? Just if you took the Mishnah literally, I intend to go back to Yerushalayim. Kore kim komo. Then you would read, what's Mikomo, what does Mikomo mean here? I'd read like my Makom, meaning I'm still a Jerusalemite. Even though I'm in Modin, I wouldn't read on the 14th, I'd read on the 15th, even if I stay in Modin. Mm-hmm. Sounds that way.
And if you ended up not getting back, then you wouldn't say it at all?
Im asid lachzor, limkomo. Okay, keep going. Vim lav. Stop. And if not, if I'm not Asid Lachzor, if I'm not in the future going to return, whatever that means, I don't read with them. Okay.
You do
read them. Very cryptic Mishnah, which leads to this whole machlokas among the Mishonim. Okay, take a look at the Gemara. Actually, I'm sorry, take a look at Rashi. Kore Kim Komo. In the Mishnah?
Kore Kim Komo, Ksuvas Mim Komo, Ben Ir Balbarasar.
No, Kichovas Mim Komo. Right. So if my intention is to go back, right, whatever that means, right, then I read like the place I'm from. Okay? Okay. Look at the Gemara now. Amarava.
Amarava lo shanu ella sha'ati lachzor balele yidalid
Okay, those lines there are like the source of tremendous anguish among the Rishonim. Okay, literally, what does that mean? So Rava says what?
There's no difference if you're
going to
return.
No. When the Mishnah says X, it's only referring to a case where I'm going to return on the night of the 14th. But if I'm going to stay past the night of the 14th into Alos, meaning the day starts, if that's my intention, then that's not the Mishnah's case. What do I mean? Look at Rashi. Lo Shano. So what's the case? Okay, good. So Jerusalem guy goes to Modian. Okay. The Asid Lachzor Lemkomo. So if his intention was to go back, right, to where? To Yerushalayim. He reads when? Oh, hold on. So Ella Asid Lachzor B'Leil Arba'asar. Im Kodem. Sham, right? What does that mean?
If he's going to return before the day of 14 starts, then he goes according to the Mishnah. But otherwise, like, he's going to stay through 14, he can do 14 in Modi.
Right. So if his intention is to leave after Alos of the 14th, okay? Then he ought the daybreak, okay? The earliest time you're chayv in the mitzvahs of the yom, okay? If his intention is to leave after that period of time, then he's considered what's called a paras ben yomo. He's now a temporary resident of Modian. So again, if a 15th guy is in a 14th city, okay? If his intention when he's in the 14th city is to leave, right, 14th at night, and not stay, again, his intention, and not stay past daybreak of the 14th, okay, then he would read like a 15th guy, even if he didn't go back to his city on the 15th. But, right, but we'll get to that later. It doesn't matter if there was or not, but if he's a 15th guy in the 14th city, and his intention when he's there is he says, I'm going to hang out here through daybreak, then he's considered an unwalled city guy, a temporary resident of the unwalled city. Ashi, about in Asid, ain't Asid. Nigra Paras, right? Very, very funny. Again, you see this Lashon, the Gemara itself uses Lashon. Look at the language. Paras ben Yomo. What's a Paras ben Yomo? It's like, what do you call it? Like you guys. Like you have like a temporary residency status, right? Okay. I'll keep going. Okay, now here it comes. V'huadin. Okay, so let's walk through the case. 14th guy goes to 15th city. Okay? Now he's in the 15th city. Now, listen to this, right? Amazing. So if you went to Yerushalayim and you were there on the 14th in Yerushalayim and your intention was to hang out in Yerushalayim until the night of the 15th, okay? When you got there or when you left, you said, my trip's going to be, I'm going to hang out, I'm going to be in Yerushalayim from the beginning of Purim on Yudalid all the way through nighttime at Tesvav. You would read in Yerushalayim on the 14th.
On the 14th.
But like I said, that's why you need the board.
Yeah.
But if my intention was to stay in the krach through daybreak of the 15th, what? Then what's the halacha? I read like them. That flipped. Of course, the question is, will there be cases where I'm leaning, right? I'm doing my chi of Megillah, right?
15th in Modian.
15th in Modian, or vice versa, 14th in, what do you call it, in Yerushalayim.
Why didn't you make it be some
Okay, so that's the obvious question you should ask here, which is that, well, what are we doing? In other words, let's understand the tension. Where does this tension come from? A similar tension. If you guys remember my minhag, right? There's, I'm a Jerusalemite, right? Or whatever, I'm a Chashmonaimite, right? But I'm in Yerushalayim. Okay, so I'm from, I am, my citizenship is Class 1M. But where am I? I'm in Yerushalayim, right? So it would seem like you have two extremes where you can go. Either you can go with the extreme of wherever I am, that's what I do. Or the other extreme is, well, what do I care where I am? I'm a, what do you call it? For me, right? Well, yeah, that's it's so tempting to do that. And yet, the Gemara doesn't do that at all, according to Rashi. Now, before we go even deeper, why did I bring in that Tosos? Because the question you should have asked if you actually prepared was as follows. You would have said, hey, you would have said, what do I care? What do I care if he's staying past the los? Okay? Now, it's tempting to say to yourself, oh, I'll tell you why if he stays past daybreak, he'd be considered paras ben yomo, because he needs a minimum time for residency. No. The reason why is because when daybreak starts, the moment alos starts, now the chiyuv mitzvahs purim, or as a gavra, kicks in. Right? In other words, if I'm in, remember, like Tosfos says, at nighttime, I have to lane because I got to say, today is purim. Right? But during the day, that's when I'm actually discharging the, what we call chiyuv gavra, meaning my obligation, my core obligation of purim takes place during the day. So if my intention is to stay in a city when my core obligation comes into existence, right, then I'm considered a member of that city. Okay. But again, what's strange in Rashi's way of learning? What's odd?
That'd be the residency versus location. Okay.
But he doesn't say that, though.
Yeah, I know. That's the weird
part. Right. Well, yeah. Right. It would be so much, as Zev said, wouldn't it be so much easier to say, okay, well, I don't know, wherever you are. There's, let's say I'm a Modian guy and I'm in Jerusalem, okay? So it's very simple. As soon as the 15th night, I don't care where I'm planning on going, as soon as the 15th starts, I'm chayiv, right? And in fact, I'll go even further. I'd say if I want to really penalize people, I'd say, well, you left Modian, right? You didn't discharge your chayiv when you were here. What? Well, we'll get to the both case. That comes up too. But I left Modian, right? You're in Yerushalayim. So listen, that's it. You have to what do you call it? You have to lane there, you know. Or the other possible. Let's say you did.
Okay. So you're saying you would be chayev from the 14th in Modian?
No, you'd be chayev. Let's say I left Modian already. I was on the road. Whatever. It doesn't matter. I got to Yerushalayim on the 13th. Just make it easier. Okay. The other way you can go is say no. What do I care where I am? I'm just here for the day. Ultimately, who am I? I'm a Jerusalemite. Right, so I happen to be Modiyah, but I'm still a guy from Yerushalayim. So there's no reality of a laning of Yudalit for me if I'm a Jerusalemite. It only comes to existence for me on the 15th. Those are like the two extremes you should go with, right? Either way you go, it'll be nice and easy. And yet somehow all the shitas, not just Rashi, every shita learns the Mishnah. No one says that. Well, no, I'm sorry, Abaye does. Sorry, Abaye. Well, no one cares about Abaye. He's saying this is important. Rashi doesn't care if you're stuck. If you're not stuck, Rashi doesn't care about you leaving. Rashi has one thing. My plans are on my Google Calendar. It says I will be joining my friends in Yerushalayim. What do you call it? I'm on my way to Yerushalayim on the 13th. I end up in Yerushalayim. My intention is to leave here, Yerushalayim, come back to Modian by the 15th at night. So therefore, I must lane on the 14th in Yerushalayim. Okay? Even though it goes against the Menagam Makom. Okay. Yeah.
Why do we give Makshava that much power?
That's a great question. I do not know. I mean, I do not know. It's odd. A lot of, and the Rashi is the most das-centric person. Everyone's kind of scales back from Rashi and limits to how powerful your das is. I just finished the Gemara. So what does the Gemara say? Alkain. Alkain Hayudim.
Oh. Alkain Hayudim Haprazim Hayotri Baharim Haprazim Mifti Pasiv Hayudim Haprazim Lamali.
No, close. Okay, it says Alkena Yehudim, right? Haprazim, Hayoshvim Barei Prazos. So once it says Yehudim Haprazim, which means Jews who live in unwalled cities, why does it have to say afterwards Hayoshvim Barei Prazos, which means living in unwalled cities? Well, if they are unwalled living city Jews, why does Megillah have to repeat that?
Because it's where they are. It's where they are in the moment, not where.
No, the Gemara says an answer. This is the Gemara. The Gemara says. Okay? So the Gemara is telling you, it repeats it again to say that at a certain point, I'm considered a resident of the unwalled city. Meaning, if I went from a walled city to the unwalled city, at some point, I'm considered a resident of the unwalled city. I'm a paras ben yomo, a temporary resident. Okay? Then the Gemara is so funny. Now, if that were the case, right, wouldn't you say, if I know Paras Ben Yomo, wouldn't it work the other way? Right? In other words, if you're telling me that a walled city guy can turn into an unwalled city temporary resident, it would seem pshita that I can go from an unwalled city person and be a temporary walled city resident, right? And yet, the Gemara says what? The Gemara says, Ashkakan Paras. So yeah, we all learned that Paras. Keep going. But how do you know Mukaf? Why do you even ask that question, by the way? What do you mean? You need like a big chiddush to know that what applies by the Mukaf and the Paras would also apply by Paras and Mukaf? The Gemara says, Svarahu. Ooh, this sounds like a very deep Svara. Me de Paras ben Yomo, Kari Paras, Mukaf ben Yomo, Kari Mukaf. So the Gemara says, no, we use some type of Svara to deduce, if you will, that what applies by Paras, applies by Mukaf in a Paras, will apply by Paras in a Mukaf. Okay? Well, I'm just saying, like, that sounds like a Pshita. The Gemara never should have said the question, how do you know it applies by the wall guy? It should have said, well, if it applies by A, it should apply by B.
Well, that's what they said.
No, the Gemara says, how do you know?
Well, they're looking for a scriptural source. No.
Why would you need a scriptural source, is my, what my question would be.
I mean, there'd be a homia that it wouldn't be the same.
It sounds like the Gemara wanted there to be a scriptural source, and since there's not, it's there's a moment, the moment of dissatisfaction before it pulls a Svara card. Yeah. I think. Okay.
So what does that have to do with Das? That should just be like, if you were living in the city for a day already, then you are considered a then Prof or whatever.
You mean residency?
Yeah.
Right.
It should be a residence thing, not a Das thing.
That and yet?
Has to do with Das. And yet it is.
Oh, is it going to Rashi?
Yeah.
Okay. Keep going, Kali. Back to the Gemara. I'm sorry, keep going to the Gemara. Okay, now this isn't fair. You guys won't know this. You won't know this as well. But who's a ben kfar? What's a kfar? Okay, so now villages, what kind of city is a village? It's an unwalled, small city, okay? Right. Now Chashmonim people got to come to Modin to buy our food, all right? So the halacha, so I'm not going to, this is not our sugya, but Chazal came up with a brilliant idea. They said, okay, well, you know what we're going to do? We're going to mock them Purim, okay? By a few days. We're going to say, you know what? You don't, if you live in a kfar, we're not going to make you come back in twice to the city to read Megillah. Rather, what we're going to say is when you come in to buy your food, that's the earliest time you can read Megillah. So it could be the 11th, 12th, 13th. All right. But that's not our issue. Okay. So Abaya comes along and says what? Abaya says, Ben Krach. Uben Kach. Right. So Abaye is the easiest guy. What does Abaye say? You always lane where you are. Excuse me, Kore Kim Koma, I'm sorry. You always lane where you're from, okay? Meaning you carry your permanent residency status with you. He chooses one of the extremes.
Yeah, so you've been living there for like 6 months.
I don't know. That's a question on him. Okay. So what you guys have to do now, what the challenge here is going to be as follows. I have here, not all the positions, I have here the Rush, who brings down the Rif, at the Baal Mor, at the Ramban. I'll bring you tomorrow the Ritva. The Ritva is fascinating. There's no Ron. The Ritva, I mean there is, but it's the same thing. The Ritva and the Rivid. Right? Each one, now the Rush and the Rashi have a fundamental machlokas. The Rif adds another layer, which the Baal Mor attacks and Ramban defends. The Ritva has a strange Shita, and the Rivid also has a strange Shita. They're like additions to the main Shitas, but the main ones are Rashi and the Rush. What you have to figure out now, and this is very difficult, What's going on here? Like, why did Chazal want to make their lives so much more difficult? First of all, you see, one move they make is, they don't wait. See, what I would have thought was, initially, I would have said, if wherever I am at night, right, wherever I am at night, as soon as night hits, right, either, let's make it easy. I'd say I go my makom, okay? Wherever I am right now, that's Purim. So when the 14th hits, at night, I'm chayiv and Purim. Done. Easiest way to solve the problem. And yet, they don't like that. And yet, the first chiluk they make is, it depends if my intention is to stay or not past the nighttime, right? That's already one chiluk, right? And that's based on that Tosfos idea of, I think, of the Iker mitzvah being the day. Why do I care about that? And not only that, at the end of the day, why should it matter what my das is? It should just go based on where I am, right? Who cares if I'm willing, I want to go home or not? What's the difference? It shouldn't matter. It's a crazy idea, right? Because that's what you have to define for tomorrow. That and then the rush. If you could work out those two, I'd be very happy. Okay?